A reading from St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." But others said, "He is Elijah." And others said, "He is a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias's daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give to you up to half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in and immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The martyrdom of St. John the Baptist is not the preferred story for squeamish wimps like me. The account is filled with calamity and gore, times of threat and shame. A girl dances provocatively. Her mother fumes in rage. There comes an impulsive oath in the midst of a lewd, luxurious feast of drunkenness and debauchery, and then the vile fulfillment of the oath that was sworn. A murder is committed as if it were the honorable thing to do to avoid causing offense to the partygoers standing by, as if this parade of degenerate behavior was being provided for their sake, for sheer entertainment value. You and I tend to conveniently ignore the fact that even one seemingly solitary sin, whether in others or in ourselves, one sin is never committed in isolation from other sins. What seems at first as a tiny walled-off transgression always begets more transgression. Sin amplifies itself like the spreading cancer, the terminal disease that it is. I may try to convince myself that just one sin won't present any real difficulty, that the immediate gain outweighs the risk, that it'll happen just this one time and not again, that generally everything else in my life is going okay, and therefore that will be that. But the one sin inevitably triggers others that follow in a devilish cascade of unintended consequences. I may not even be aware of the one sin that initiates another and another and another. Blithely traipsing along, unmindful of the darkness that lurks beneath, within, all about, a roaring lion, a death warrant, never too far away, and yet accompanied by those occasional reminders that something's amiss. Herod sensed such a disquiet. The reading for this festival day starts off with those reminder words, Herod heard of it, and the it being that Christ is sending forth the 12. But from there, the sequencing gets twisted around. Through Herod's pangs of guilty conscience, suddenly we are transported, given to leave the now as we peer back through the cascade of events to another earlier time. And there in the midst of this violent story of martyrdom, we find a mystery. It's not that when Herod sees John, he is compelled to think of Jesus. It's that when Herod sees Jesus, he is compelled to think of John. When Herod hears of Christ sending the apostles, when he hears the Lord's command to repent, when he hears about the apostles of Jesus performing miracles in his name, Herod is immediately drawn back to his memories of John. Herod sees Jesus and he says, "It's John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." There is the glorious mystery. This profound oneness, the identity of Jesus the Christ and his church, the communion of his saints. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. See the now resurrected Savior? You are looking at his body, the Holy Christian Church. Consider the saints who have died, who have gone before, assembled around the heavenly throne. You are seeing the Lamb, the conqueror of sin, death, and Satan. And having received this gospel by faith, you too are part of this glorious unity, this oneness. The cascade of sin rips and tears away at your humanity, but now that has been brought to a halt. In Christ, here is the one life that constitutes your life. The one life in his resurrection that heals, unifies, restores all things to exactly, precisely the way they were meant to be. Our Savior was born among us sinners to die for our sin and to be raised for our righteousness. Hidden within John's ministry and martyrdom is Christ's death and resurrection for you. Even as John perishes at the hands of a tyrant, another unjust death looms, and this of the Lamb, his atoning death that defeats your death. The Baptist decreases, you decrease, the Savior increases. Here you live a little while longer, imprisoned, call it a temporary retirement, in a body of earthly flesh, all the way while anticipating the day of glory and resurrection. You reflect in your soul that upon which you believe with the heart of faith. You are one with him whom you behold in fear and love and trust above everything else. With the Baptist, you gaze with the eyes of faith upon this Jesus, now seated at the right hand of God, who brings you to the Father. The Father looks to Jesus, and he sees all those who have been raised from the dead. In hearing Christ's word of absolution, we look to Jesus. In returning to Christ's word, placed in our mouths in the Eucharist, we look to Jesus. In attending to Christ's word as it is proclaimed in preaching, imparted in catechesis, rehearsed in the reading of scriptures, resounded in sacred hymnody, we look to Jesus. Herod was concerned. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. And at that moment, that was most certainly true. In every time and place throughout history, past, present, and future, anyone who ever encounters what is recorded here in the gospel still hears the Baptist crying aloud and saying, "Repent! It is not lawful for you to have the wife of your brother." Or Jesus saying, "Do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." Herod cuts off a head, but he did not cut off the voice. He curbs a prophet's tongue, but he did not curb the accusation of the law. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you will not fall under condemnation. The weakness of Herod is offset by a prophet in prison. Our question on this festival day is not, why was John allowed to die like that? But rather, thanks be to our gracious God for his testimony. What occurred there was not a death, but a crown, the beginning of a greater life that would never end. Lift up your eyes and gaze upon the fulfillment, the end of such a high baptismal calling. See that you have been joined to Christ by virtue of his incarnation, death, and resurrection. Because Christ was raised from the dead, John was raised from the dead. The same goes for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.